Hello and welcome to Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the looming showdown in the U.S. Senate, now that it is clear the Democrats will filibuster the nomination of Judge Gorsuch to the Supreme Court, and in return, Mitch McConnell, whose finger is itchy on the trigger, will go nuclear and blow up the Senate rules eliminating the filibuster. A 21-year veteran of the U.S. Senate, Jim Manley, who served as a senior advisor to Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid for 6 years and before that served for 12 years as an aide to the late Senator Ted Kennedy, joins us to discuss the recognition that it no longer makes sense to pretend that normal business can be conducted with the Trump presidency. He argues against going along with the Republican charade pretending their Supreme Court nominees are not judicial activists like John Roberts, who promised to uphold precedent, then made radical changes to increase corporate power and perpetuate Republican rule while restricting workers' rights and weakening political competition. Then we will speak with Azeez Huq, a professor of law at the University of Chicago and a former clerk to Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. He joins us to discuss the difficult and dismal choices facing Senate Democrats and the increasingly phony nature of Supreme Court confirmation hearings in which candidates now say as little as possible in as many words as they can muster. Then finally, with Donald Trump's lavish praise in a White House greeting for the Egyptian military dictator General Sisi, who overthrew the country's first freely elected president in a coup, we will examine Trump's disregard for human rights and the throttling of a free press and the filling of prisons with political opponents. Mukhtar Awad, a research fellow in the program on extremism at George Washington University, who specializes in Islamist and Salafist groups and insurgencies in Egypt, joins us to discuss his article at Politico, What Trump Should Ask Sisi, and whether this new era of transactional politics will bring about the peace that both leaders promised today. And joining us now is Jim Manley, who's a senior director at Quinn Gillespie & Associates Public Affairs in Washington, D.C. He's a 21-year veteran of the U.S. Senate, and where he served as a senior advisor to Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid for the past 6 years, and before that served 12 years as an aide to the late Senator Ted Kennedy. Welcome to Background Briefing, Jim Manley.
Thanks for inviting me once again, Ian.
Well, thank you, Jim. And it looks like they've crossed the Rubicon.
Coming right around the corner. Yep.
It looks as if the Democrats are going to filibuster Judge Gorsuch, and two, Mitch McConnell has an itchy trigger finger. It looks like he can't wait to invoke the nuclear option. So, your former boss Harry Reid brought in the nuclear option short of filibustering for Supreme Court nominations, or keeping the filibuster for Supreme Court nominations. Mm-hmm. But that was a different context, isn't it? But, you know, they're going to spin it. Don't think the Republicans are going to try and blame this on the Democrats?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Sure, as you and I are talking here, which, of course, is absolutely ridiculous, since they didn't even have the courtesy of giving Merrick Garland the chance of a hearing last year, so we think they doth protest too much. So, I've been hesitant to go down this path in the past, believing that there is a need to keep, you know, some basic customs and traditions in place here in the Senate, but I've come to believe that was then and this is now, and something's got to change. Not only because of the clear and present threat that this president poses to core principles of the American people, but also because the fact of the matter is Republicans broke it. They broke the Senate. Now they're paying the price. They can spin it, trying to blame Democrats, but the fact of the matter is this all began years ago when they started filibustering everything under the gun in the Obama administration through the very end when they refused to give Merrick Garland even the courtesy of a hearing.
Weren't there something like about 500 filibusters?
More than 400. I lost track of it, quite frankly, but it's certainly more than 400.
Right.
But basically everything, all but the most routine motions in the Senate on recent years, while President Obama was in office, was subject to a filibuster. They went out of their way to try and delegitimize this president every chance they could, despite the fact that he was elected twice to be the president of the United States. They refused to acknowledge it, and again, the final insult was how they handled Merrick Garland. So, again, just flabbergasted at some of the comments coming out of my old pal, Senator Mitch McConnell, shedding his crocodile tears. He broke the place. He's going to own it from here on out.
So do you think he will own it, though? I mean, everything in nowadays is all about spin.
Yeah.
And everything that Donald Trump's doing is about spin. I mean, he's not legislating. He's not governing the country.
Well, but of course, his approval rating is sitting at 37% and or lower. He can't legislate his way out of a paper bag. The House obviously is in chaos. So, you know, at least we've got something to argue over in 2018, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And we're going to have to add the status of the Supreme Court to the 2018 elections. It's always puzzled me, Ian, why Democrats never really focused on the Supreme Court as much as Republicans did. Republicans, for the base and for the members on Capitol Hill, it's a core visceral belief. Democrats say that, but they don't usually go out of their way to try and get involved in it. Next year, you know, after this guy's confirmed, and maybe they get one or two more in the years to come, I hope Democrats then realize what exactly at stake here. They realize the threat they pose to the Supreme Court rulings. They act accordingly.
Again, I'm speaking with Jim Manley, who's a senior director at Quinn Gillespie & Associates Public Affairs in Washington, D.C. He's a 21-year veteran of the U.S. Senate, where he served as senior advisor to Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid for the past 6 years, and before that served 12 years as an aide to the late Senator Ted Kennedy. But I was struck by what you just said in terms of this. Basically, in effect, Donald Trump has changed the entire landscape in Washington because he is so outrageous, so unqualified, so scary. I don't know whether you saw the extraordinary editorial by the Los Angeles Times.
I read it, yes.
Full page editorial. Have you seen anything like that? I mean,
No. Well, I mean, yes and no. I saw plenty of people in the run up to the election raising the alarm bells.
Right.
But it's pretty interesting to see the LA Times go to great lengths like that. You know, to that other description, I don't want to be too trite, but you could add vain, uncouth, and all sorts of other descriptions to describe this current president.
The point about it, from what I got, and I think why they were laying down a big marker, I think, for a major newspaper, is that they're more or less saying, enough already, let's not pretend anymore. This is a catastrophe.
Yeah.
So doesn't this situation with Gorsuch and the filibuster fit into that category? In other words, you guys are just completely off the reservation with this guy. You've broken all the rules, and we're just not going to go along with you anymore.
That's exactly it. I mean, and I tried to ascribe that some of that dynamic in my earlier comments. I mean, Democrats believe in legislating. Democrats believe in good government. Democrats for years operated, you know, largely within the comfy confines of, you know, traditional norms and customs, while Republicans, House and Senate Republicans, again, went out of their way to undermine this administration's agenda by hook or by crook. And with Donald Trump blowing up one norm after another, you know, I don't need to feel the need to recite his top 10 list, but, you know, insulting all sorts of groups and insulting the intelligence of the American people while saying one thing and doing the other. So, yes, there is a belief on Capitol Hill, and the Senate Democrats I've talked to, that enough's enough. We need to take a stand, and that time is now. There have been some that were arguing that don't filibuster right now. Wait for the more extreme nominee that is coming down the pike. At least if you look at the actuarial tables, if you will, there's going to be one or two more openings in the years to come. But I think the great majority of the caucus believes that we're not going to keep that sword hanging over us this entire time. Time to rip this scab off and make this move at this point in time against this man.
And does this mean then that it's all about 2018, that the gamble is that this is not going to backfire on the Democrats? In other words, McConnell's not going to be successful in saying it's all the Democrats' fault, which is...
No. I don't believe it's going to backfire at Democrats. Now, to be perfectly clear, Ian, I can't tell you how exactly it's going to play out in 2018. Except for to remind you that it'll be interesting because in 2018, you know, people will have had a chance to analyze some of the rulings that are going to come out of this Supreme Court. And I got $5 that says an awful lot of people aren't going to like what they're hearing out of the Supreme Court. But we'll see about that. But again, you know, the fact of the matter is the opponents of Gorsuch are only going to lose, you know, a handful of Democrats. I think is very interesting insight into where Democrats are coming down vis-a-vis being scared of Donald Trump. And years, you know, for the last couple of months, you know, folks maybe had been concerned about getting on the wrong side of a Trump tweet storm, if you will. But now that's obviously not the case, and I don't think it's going to be the case from here on out.
But I've always thought that the Supreme Court, in many ways, you could make the case that the Chief Justice, John Roberts, is the number one Republican strategist. The Supreme Court rulings of late have done so much to empower the Republican Party. Citizens United, unlimited money, most of it's gone into the Republican coffers. It's mostly anonymous. They have benefited enormously from that. They've benefited from getting rid of Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act to enable them to do voter suppression. And with Gorsuch on the court, they will rule on the California Teachers Union case, which will basically strip money away from the Democratic Party, from the Teachers Union, and basically destroy public employee unions or render them penniless.
So,
So in other words, is that what we're talking about here? In other words, you basically, this is a war. The Republicans just want to extinguish the Democratic Party. They don't want to have an opposition party. They don't want to have any opposition. They want to just kill them off. That seems to be what's happening.
I told a reporter last week that I see shades of Karl Rove and George Bush in 2005 going after the privatization of Social Security. They wanted to go at the program for the budgetary savings, first of all, but they also wanted to mount an assault on one of the most successful social programs this country's ever seen. And now we have a rear guard, right wing action by part of the Supreme Court, along with House and Senate members, that want to undermine the key social safety net, you know, led by Speaker Ryan. But regarding Roberts, you probably know this, but I used to work for a senator and Harry Reid, in views widely shared by many Senate Democrats who felt that, or at least those that are still on the Hill, that felt that John Roberts lied to him when he went before his confirmation hearing. He promised so-called stare decisis to keep precedent important, follow precedent. And since then, he's gone out of his way time and time again to overrule previous precedent. I mean, I'm not a lawyer and I don't play one on TV, but you know, again, I can tell you that an awful lot of Senate Democrats, at least those still around, think that he lied to them. So, I mean, for every, you know, ruling on Obamacare, he's done, you know, any number of things to undermine, you know, past policies. So, again, frustration of mine was the frustration with the Clinton campaign. It will probably be a frustration next year as well. More Democrats need to focus on the Supreme Court, like the right wing groups and the base of the Republican Party to do as well. For them, the Supreme Court's the end all and the be all, and you can't look at the makeup of the House and Senate. And you can't look at the Supreme Court and be comfortable that they're going to be around to protect your rights and liberties in the years to come.
Well, indeed, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer did say that Gorsuch is another Roberts, that Roberts said he would only be the referee and call balls and strikes, and then he became this activist. We've discussed that. But the difference between Roberts and Gorsuch is that Roberts may well have lied, whereas Gorsuch didn't say a damn thing.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You know, I saw that commentary, but I guess I've just gotten used to the fact that, especially in this day and age, nominees don't say too terribly much. So I know what you mean. It's got to be awfully frustrating to try and pin these guys down during their confirmation hearings. But, you know, I guess that's just the kind of song and dance that I've come to expect in this day and age. You just want to, they don't want to, you know, make any mistakes. But, you know, having said that, I mean, it would have been nice to get a little bit more clarity, and there's no idea anymore that you can trust someone to do the right thing, given how burned Democrats feel from the past. So,
Right. Well, just in closing, Jim Manley, do you see then, I mean, I think that the most important thing that came out of the hearings with Gorsuch was that this guy is such a corporatist. I mean, the frozen truck driver story was so alarming.
Oh, yeah.
That I think that's the stand, that's what Leahy said today, that's what the stand that they're making. It's not about payback so much as we just can't afford to have somebody on the court that's hostile to American workers.
You know, I can see it both ways. I mean, the senators I talk to, the ghost of Merrick Garland is always swirling around. Again, the fact that he didn't actually even get a hearing. But don't get me wrong, there's plenty of reasons to vote against this guy. And what I find interesting is that of all those Democrats up for re-election in 2018 from so-called swing states, a majority are prepared to vote against Judge Gorsuch. And to me, that shows that, you know, things are shifting, and not only is the House Freedom Caucus not afraid of Donald Trump anymore, but, you know, those Democrats that might have been liable, you know, to vote with him might be having second thoughts as well.
Well, Jim Manley, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thank you.
And again, I'm speaking with Jim Manley, who's a senior director at Quinn Gillespie and Associates Public Affairs in Washington, D.C., a 21-year veteran of the U.S. Senate. He served as senior advisor to Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid for the past 6 years, and before that served 12 years as an aide to the late Senator Ted Kennedy. We're going to take a brief station break. We'll be back looking at the difficult and dismal choices facing Senate Democrats.